Welcome back to All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Our book today is best described as a phenomenon. In the 1980s, George R.R. Martin was a Hollywood writer churning out episodes for TV shows like Beauty and the Beast. And then he got bored.
Whenever I would turn in the script, the producers would always say to me, George, this is wonderful, but it would cost five times our budget to produce it.
So Martin turned to the one medium that could support his oversized imagination. Fiction. And the result was A Game of Thrones, the first volume in an epic fantasy series based loosely on the English dynastic struggle known as the Wars of the Roses, with a few dragons and demons thrown in. 15 years later, George R.R. Martin's series, known as A Song of Ice and Fire, has sold more than 15 million copies, and he's inspired the kind of cult loyalty known only to a handful of living writers. The latest installment in the series has just been released. It's called A Dance with Dragons. And a few weeks ago, HBO wrapped up the first season of a show based on Game of Thrones. Critics are calling it the finest HBO series in years, and it's just earned an Emmy nomination for Best Drama.
Winter is coming.
Martin says that he knew his fantasy epic was going to be big, but it's actually grounded in real-life history.
Many years ago, when I'm visiting England, I visited Hadrian's Wall.
Oh, yes.
In the north of England. And I climbed up on top of Hadrian's Wall, and I stared off north towards Scotland, and it was autumn, and a cold wind was blowing, and I just tried to imagine what it was like to be a Roman legionary from southern Italy, standing on this wall, not knowing what was going to emerge from those hills or those trees. And it was sort of a profound feeling, and I said, I've got to capture this in a fantasy book. But of course, fantasy being bigger and more colorful, I couldn't have a wall that was 10 feet tall like Hadrian's Wall. So I had a 700-foot tall wall, and I made it out of ice, and I gave it this storied history. And then, of course, I wanted something to emerge from those hills and trees to the north. That was a good bit scarier than Scott's.
Yes.
So I came up with that, too. So you start with the kernel of reality, and then you extrapolate and you build from there.
George, for people who are not familiar with your work, and there are very few of them left these days, you create these characters that we root for, that we really become attached to very quickly. We want to see them win, and then you kill them.
Well, not all of them.
Not all of them.
I have a lot of characters, so there are always more who hopefully you are also attached to.
Why do you do that?
I think there's a certain moral obligation almost to give one reason. If you're going to write about war, which my books are about, wars are nasty things. People die in wars. People get maimed in wars. And many of them are good, likable people who you would like to not see die. I think it's sort of a cheap, easy way out to write a war story in which all the heroes, you know, happily go killing the enemy, and maybe they have a few close calls, but no one ultimately dies. So that's one reason. But the other reason besides that is also my goal as a writer is to really make my readers experience the book, not just read the words, but to feel afterwards almost as if they've lived it. I want the reader to be afraid. I want the reader not to know, my God, is this character that I'm identifying with and reading going to survive this thing? He's really in trouble here. He's really in a scary situation. To almost be afraid to turn the next page.
Yeah.
And the way you do that, of course, is by establishing very early on, as I do in Game of Thrones, that I'm playing for keeps here and that no one is safe in these books. The cavalry isn't necessarily going to come riding to the rescue. Mm.
I'm speaking with author George R.R. Martin. His new book is called A Dance with Dragons. It's the latest in a series that began with Game of Thrones, the TV series based on that book, just finished its first season on HBO. George, you've been called the American Tolkien. You are a huge fan of his work.
I am indeed.
What do you make of that? Does it, I don't know, does it make you feel uncomfortable?
No. It's immensely flattering. It's one of the greatest compliments that could be made to my work, and so I'm glad to accept it. I do caution people, though, that fans of Tolkien who hear that and then pick up my books thinking that they're going to get the same thing. Well, they're not. I mean, I am a significantly different person from Tolkien, although we're both writing in a genre that's come to be called epic fantasy or high fantasy. Of course, one of the big differences is that my work has sex. One of the other things I tried to do is create characters who are fully fleshed and hopefully three-dimensional with realistic motivations on all sides of the struggle. I mean, there are no orcs in A Game of Thrones and its sequels. There are no equivalent. There are no, like, demonic creatures who just exist to be evil. Most of the violence is done by human beings against other human beings, and for the same old reasons that people have been doing violence against each other through all of human history. A lust for power, revenge, love, all of the things that have motivated some of these wars through the real Middle Ages.
George Martin, it's hard to talk about your new book, A Dance with Dragons, because, of course, many folks listening are your fans, and they will not have read it yet, so we really can't give anything
That's right.
away.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
But let me talk about the drama surrounding the book, because the last book in the series came out in 2005, and some of your readers were just downright vicious in their impatience waiting for this one.
Yes, there were a few of those. You know, I struggled with that for a while, and I finally came to terms with it, and there's an old Rick Nelson song that I put a excerpt from on my blog about Garden Party.
Oh, yes.
You can't please everyone, so you right. learn to please yourself.
Right.
I'm going to take as long as it takes to write these books to make them good.
Let me ask you about the cult around your series. A lot of these fans sometimes know more about the details in your books than you might even remember, right?
Yes. Particularly Elio Garcia and Linda Antonsen, who run the Westeros website. They're two fans who live in Sweden, and they really do have an encyclopedic knowledge of my books, more so than I do, actually. I call up Elio sometimes when I want to check a detail and say, this character, have I ever mentioned what color his eyes is? Elio will write me back right away. Yes, his eyes are blue-gray. You said that in the second book on page 314. Okay, good, thanks.
just in case, George R. R. Martin, we have to wait another 6 years. And fine, by all means, take your time.
I hope not.
If you have to take your time, take your time. But if we have to wait 6 years for the next book, can you give us a glimpse, a tiny glimpse, so a tiny clue about what we can expect?
Well, the next book is called Winds of Winter, and it will pick up directly from the end of both Dance with Dragons and Feast for Crows, the previous book, which are two books that ran in parallel. But now I have all the characters together again, so I'm going to follow all of them. And you'll see lots of trouble at the Wall, where the White Walkers and the others are finally stirring and about to move in a major way, and continued civil war in the South, so I'll be juggling a lot of balls.
It's a brutal world, and all I can say is, thank God I don't live in the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's author George R. R. Martin. His new book is called A Dance with Dragons. The HBO series based on his book Game of Thrones returns next spring. George R. R. Martin, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.